My friends, most people have heard of the request of Our Lady of Fatima for a consecration of the world, inclusive of Russia, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I want to talk about this issue and also give some historical background and a bit of an analysis of where the situation is now. Also in this lecture, because both Marian consecration, whether it be personal or global, as well as the scapular, has as its presupposition, has as its theological foundation, the doctrine of Mary as the mediatrix of all graces. So it would be appropriate that we talk about not only the world consecration, but also the personal devotion of scapular in the same voice, if you will, in the same lecture. Let's go to the issue of a consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Where does this come from? Well, it comes from the church-approved private revelation of Fatima. On July 13th of 1917, Our Lady made reference of her request to have Russia consecrated. And this is the quote from that July 13th, 1917 message. Our Lady says, and I quote, "I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on First Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and a period of peace will be granted to the world." So here's a request from Our Lady for the Vicar of Christ, the highest human authority in the world, in the spiritual order, to consecrate Russia to prevent things like a potential Second World War, annihilations of nations, the Holy Father and the Church having much to suffer. First and foremost, my friends, we have to acknowledge, look at the power of consecration in the eyes of heaven. Consecration is not just a light little pietistic action for devout elderly ladies. It is something that, again, changes the course of human history. That's the power, the supernatural release of grace that comes, I would hold also, with personal consecration, as well as, in this context, global consecration. Now, the first effort to respond to this request by Our Lady to the Holy Father to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart comes on October 31st of 1942. Pope Pius XII, in a radio broadcast to the pilgrims at Fatima, does indeed consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart. This is his text. He says, quote, "To you and to your Immaculate Heart, in this tragic hour of history, of human history, we commit, we entrust, we consecrate not only Holy Church, the mystical body of your Jesus, which suffers and bleeds in so many places and is afflicted in so many ways, but also the entire world, torn by violent discord, scorched in a fire of hate, victim of its own iniquities." Now, this is during World War II, and Pius XII consecrates the church, but also the entire world, which, of course, is going to be inclusive of Russia. Well, there are some other secondary elements of efforts to make this consecration, but the principal seer, Sister Lucia of Fatima, conveys to the Holy Father that Our Lady desires what's called a collegial consecration. And by collegial, that means it signifies at least a significant portion of participation by the bishops of the world in union with the Holy Father. Now, you might ask the question, well, how can the Pope and bishops in union with the Pope consecrate atheists, agnostics, you know, people that are of a communist or a Masonic persuasion, very clearly anti-Catholic or in many cases anti-Christian? On what authority can they make a consecration? Well, the response is, in general, what we call spiritual jurisdiction. Because they are legitimate spiritual authorities, they may consecrate those under their spiritual authority. That's why a father, as well as a mother, should participate in consecrating their family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Why? Because they have spiritual jurisdiction. It's based on their position of authority. So even to those unbelievers, a Marian consecration of the world, inclusive of Russia, can have a great historic impact. Well, we then go to May 13th, 1981, and on that day, Pope John Paul II is shot in St. Peter's Square in fulfillment of the Fatima prophecy that the Holy Father would have much to suffer. During his convalescence, he reads in great detail the message of Fatima and this request about a consecration of Russia. On March 25th of 1984, the Holy Father, inviting all the bishops of the world and in union with a great number of bishops of the world, does consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, Sister Lucia, the primary Fatima visionary, and Pope St. John Paul II confirm jointly that the consecration was completed. Sister Lucia, on at least five interviews since the 1984 consecration, confirms that this consecration was valid and was accepted by heaven in fulfillment of the Fatima request. Now, I mention this because there is an ongoing objection that because the Holy Father did not specify Fatima, that the consecration was invalid. This would be incorrect both theologically and in terms of the authorities of those in this situation, i.e., Sister Lucia herself explains in a beautiful way for a somewhat little educated, certainly in theology, contemplative Carmelite sister. Sister Lucia responds that when John Paul II, in her explanation, when John Paul II consecrated the world, he was including and intending Russia, and therefore Russia was consecrated. Just like she uses the example that if a priest is offering Mass, he's going to consecrate whatever unconsecrated hosts he intends to consecrate, regardless of where they are. It's his intention that allows the consecration to take place. And Sister Lucia says, John Paul II intended Russia. We also have, quite frankly, the rather remarkable historic fruit of the Berlin Wall falling in a fundamentally bloodless fashion, which can be linked to the power and the efficacy of John Paul II's consecration on March 25th of 1984. Now, some could argue, well, would it have been even more effective had John Paul II specified Russia instead of trying to avoid what had been a previous Secretary of State agreement with the Soviet Union that dated back even to the time of the Vatican Council, which said that, you know, if you will not specifically mention communism at the Council, we will allow the Eastern Bloc bishops to come to the Second Vatican Council, things of that nature. Good people could argue about whether it could have been even more effective. That's a fundamentally different question than was it done? And did it satisfy heaven's requirement? And did both the Pope and the principal visionary confirm that it was done? Because for that, we have certainty and we have documentation. Now, one could also object, well, why aren't things better in the world? The Berlin Wall fell, but there's still grave difficulties in the world. Well, many international Fatima leaders will be quick to say, well, first of all, remember she asked for consecration of Russia and the first Saturdays of Reparation, something we'll talk about in later lectures on Fatima. Secondly, most Fatima leaders, Ambassador Howard Dean in the Philippines, Courtney Bartholomew in Trinidad, and leaders throughout the world, also say that the proclamation of the fifth Marian dogma is also a condition for Our Lady's promise at Fatima. Quote, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Again, more on that when we get to the Fatima message. Let me now segue to the issue of the scapular. And again, the scapular's foundation, this beautiful sacramental in the church, which we've had for so many years, has the same theological basis as Marian consecration, Our Lady's role as the mediatrix of all graces. Now, the word scapula in Latin means shoulder, and the scapular is therefore two pieces of cloth, typically brown. At least we're going to be talking about what's sometimes called the grandmother scapular, the scapular of scapulars, the brown Carmelite scapular in our lecture. But two pieces of brown cloth connected with string that's worn over the shoulder. It's worn over the shoulder as a symbol of both protection and of slavery. Think of the Old Testament concept of the yoke. The oxen had the yoke and he was the beast of burden. But in this sense, it's a voluntary expression of our total gift to Our Lady. I want to go to the historical roots of the scapular, still a devotion very much celebrated in the church today, and something I strongly encourage you to participate in by wearing the brown scapular. Again, my friends, there's so many elements of the adversary and satanic attack, or even the world and the flesh do pretty well even without Satan, but that triad combination calls us to take advantage of the spiritual instruments, the spiritual weapons which the church provides us. Things like the rosary, like Marian consecration, and like the scapular. Historically, the scapular was given articulated in church documents, was given in a vision to St. Simon Stock, the prior general of the Carmelites, between 1247 and 1265. And the account we have, the oldest account we have of the apparition from Our Lady to St. Simon Stock is the following, which is probably written sometime during the lifetime of St. Simon Stock. It is, quote, "The Blessed Virgin appeared to him," St. Simon Stock, "with a multitude of angels, holding in her blessed hands the scapular of the order. She said, 'This will be for you and for all Carmelites the privilege that he who dies in this will not suffer eternal fire.'" That is, he who dies in this will be saved. Okay, so what is the principal scapular promise? That the person wearing the scapular will receive what are called the graces of final perseverance, will receive the graces to say yes to the invitation of God in Jesus for heaven. Now, one would say, well, how do you justify that? How do you justify a wearing of a concrete object and having any impact on your salvation? Well, we go to the Second Vatican Council. The Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium 62, tells us that Mary, quote, "intercedes for the gifts of eternal life." That's precisely her role as the mediatrix. Now, what about the concrete dimension? Look, my friends, just a few points here. One is, God became man to save us. That's what we call the incarnational principle. Notice how the sacraments have a concrete dimension to them as well, which symbolize and signify what's spiritually happening when we receive the sacraments. So too for sacramentals. So the wearing of the scapular can be the individual's concrete yes, concrete fiat to Our Lady saying, "Yes, Mother, I want to be open to the graces of Jesus you can bring to me. I'm going to wear this scapular as a sign of my ongoing openness to the graces which you want to bring me in uniting me to Jesus and living a life of faith and holiness in this world." So, if you will, it's almost like Our Lady has the task. Let's say, and this is a very mundane example, so because it has a materialist quantitative dimension, but let's say the infinite storehouses of graces to redeem all human beings, to save all man, is on this side. And let's say on this side is fallen humanity in grave need of grace. And in the middle is the Blessed Virgin. And, you know, heaven, the Trinity can be above us, if you will. What does Mary need to get graces from here to here, from the infinite storehouse of graces, which, of course, is not quantitative, it's qualitative. But, again, this is a concrete example in analogy. What does Mary need to get it from here, the grace from here, to the grave need of people over here? She needs an act of free will. She needs a window of consent. The scapular can very much be that window of consent, where you're saying, yes, I want to receive these graces, and therefore this is a concrete sign of my yes to your role as the mediatrix of all graces. So we can talk ideally, and it's good to articulate that ideally, the scapular can be an external sign of internal Marian consecration. That's at the height and the ideal combination of external to internal. Remember, St. John Paul II tells us that the body expresses the person. Well, if you're wearing a scapular, ideally that represents an external sign of total internal consecration. But we are not locked to the ideal. What is the bare minimum, we could ask on the other end of the spectrum? What's the bare minimum that is necessary for wearing the scapular? And the bare minimum, my friends, is a belief in Mary's intercession, an openness that Mary can intercede and that will be beneficial in our union with Jesus. That's all that's necessary. And so that minimum can include all forms of religious life, of interior life, of sanctity, or the lack thereof. I want to read you a quote from Pius XII, where he talks about how wearing the scapular can be the means of one's significant conversion from what appears to be a life of damnation. And that will, as you'll see in the quote, that presupposes indeed that the person is not in grace when to put the scapular on. This is a discourse, a 1950 discourse on the scapular by Pius XII. He says, quote, "How many souls, even in circumstances which, humanly speaking, were beyond hope, have owed their final conversion and their eternal salvation to the scapular which they were wearing." And so, my friends, give the sacramental life of the church the benefit of the doubt. Give the sacramental of the scapular the benefit. That is, obviously, you want to avoid all formalism. And I'll make a comment on that just in a parting note. But you don't want to just have the external without the internal. At the same time, remember that the act of faith a person makes by putting the scapular on can become the beginning of a new internal road to conversion. And that's why, ideally, the scapular can be an external sign of internal consecration. In practice, anybody who has an openness to the intercession of Mary can legitimately wear the scapular with the hopes of, indeed, conversion. Now, formalism. What is formalism? Formalism is where an external object lacks the proper internal disposition that should be there. This is classically Pharisaicalism, correct? So the wearing of the scapular should avoid all formalism in the sense that, well, since I have the thing on the outside, I have the sacramental on the outside, I need not pray, I need not live the prayer and sacramental life of the church, I need not be obedient to the Holy Father. It's all taken care of in this with this material element. That would be radical formalism. The scapular in no way encourages that. At the same time, to have an external sign of devotion to Our Lady not only reminds us of our commitment to Christ, of if indeed we've made Marian consecration, our commitment to live in and through and by and with Mary, but also it can be part of the new evangelization. When someone sees you with that scapular, it almost always brings up conversations. I mean, like, oh yes, my grandmother used to have one of those things. What exactly is that again? And here we have the Holy Spirit giving us an opening to spread the faith. And in spreading the faith, we spread the faith with an organic nature to it, where the individual is asking. Indeed, my friends, these devotions are powerful. They're given with a strength and a purpose. Now, let me just say as a postscript, with the wearing of the scapular, there's also what's called the Sabbatine privilege. Now, evidently, the original bull by the Holy Father, Pope John the 22nd, that gave us this privilege has not been located, but you have other popes who have referred to the Sabbatine privilege. So what is the Sabbatine privilege? The Sabbatine privilege is the concept that for those who wear the scapular and do certain prayers for purity and chastity according to one's spiritual director, that one would be freed from purgatory on the Saturday, the first Saturday after they die. And this reportedly was given as a message to one of the Holy Fathers. Where does that stand? Well, once again, since the original bull was not located, but other popes have referred to it, there is still a legitimacy in belief in the Sabbatine privilege, even if it's not on a clear magisterial level. What is clear is that Our Lady's mediation is powerful and strong. The more we open ourselves to it, the more we will benefit, both in terms of our personal sanctification, our protection from the adversary, and our ability to participate in the new evangelization. So again, rosary, consecration, scapular, don't choose which, do them all. And that way we're really using the instruments, the gifts that our Lord, through Our Lady, have availed for us in the present spiritual warfare. And it is a spiritual warfare, but a battle where the victory has been assured to us. Thank you.